Hello, basketball gamers, and welcome to episode number 150 of the MLSC podcast. I'm your host, Andrew. Hope you're doing well this week. I'm joined by my co-host, Ben, also known as Arcane in the forum.
Hey, everyone. Happy 150th podcast.
Indeed, another milestone, although we don't have anything particularly special lined up. We might have to wait till 200 to do that next year, perhaps. Nothing really out of the ordinary this week. No special interviews, but certainly some interesting things to talk about. I asked our audience, of course, Ben, but how are you doing this week?
I'm doing pretty well.
That's good to hear. Busy. It's good to hear. Keeping busy. I've been doing the same. Apologize to anyone if my speech is a little slurred or anything this week, because I am battling some dental pain at the moment, which I'm going to have to get fixed up in the next few days. Hopefully I'll be able to make it through the show without too many twinges affecting my speech or anything else like that. But apart from that, keeping busy. Hope everyone's enjoying the content we've been putting out this week. The fall editions, yesterday, Ben, I did the Way Back Wednesday. I talked about the rappers in NBA Live 2003, if you remember the codes to unlock all of them.
Yep.
So doing some more stuff like that, of course, Way Back Wednesday every week, and Monday tip off all the original content. But this is the NLSC podcast, so without any further ado, a few things to talk about this week, so let's get right to it. First of all, I guess, a reminder about our wish list for NBA Live 17 and NBA 2K17. They're still ongoing. Get involved in the forum. Register if you haven't already. Start posting your ideas. And, of course, if you're already registered, go right ahead and post your ideas as well. Kind of leads into our first topic this week, which is actually a suggestion from me. I made up this this topic this week. So, you know, we've been getting some good suggestions so far for both games, particularly NBA Live, which does, as we've talked about, a lot of things that need to be done with that. It's slowly been improving over the last few years, and that's been great to see, but some big steps that we want to see in NBA Live 17. But, you know, we've talked about the gameplay aspects that we want to see and what would really make the game fun to play. But aside from improved gameplay, Ben, what's the one improvement that would keep you playing NBA Live 17? Like, what's the mode or the hook that will get you playing Live 17 on a regular basis? Aside, obviously, from the gameplay being up to scratch.
Like we've talked about, you know, in-depth modes. Depth and variety in it, and customization. Those are probably the big things that I'd want.
Being able to create custom rosters and things like that?
Yeah, you know, and just in-depth player customization the roster stuff that, you know, has been sorely lacking. And I suppose, like, with the Live 16, how you can scan a few of your friends, like, scan a few faces in, you know, that'd be good with the roster stuff where, you know, you could put your friends in. You know, you can put your friends on different teams and that. So, yeah, things like that, that will, you know, give it a bit more...
just add a bit more fun to the experience, basically? Fun variety, yeah?
Yeah, you know, so it's, you're not just playing the same old thing all the time. A variety of modes, obviously. Whether even it just be, like, mini-game stuff, like the 3-on-3 stuff, or a proper shoot-around stuff, or... All-Star Weekend, you know, that's those things, you know, aside from just the standard 5-on-5 game, you know. So, you know, if you just wanted to play something quick, that was a bit fun, and that, you know, you had that option, and as opposed to just only having to play a 5-on-5 game or a Dynasty game or something like that. So, yeah, something that you could do that was entertaining, like the contest stuff, or...
Oh, definitely want to see the All-Star Weekend back at some point.
Yeah, you know.
As we've talked about before, yeah.
Yeah, you know, you can, if you have mates over, you know, you can challenge against each other, especially in like a three-point shootout kind of thing, or, yeah, just that kind of thing that's a separate mode. Legends and stuff like that, more use of them instead of just in like Ultimate Team.
Definitely. I mean, you've been playing a lot of my career in NBA 2K these last few years.
Yeah.
If they were to flesh out Rising Star, do you think that would be a mode that you get into as well? Or
You know, I liked some of the ideas that they did with the Elite 11 option. Obviously, it didn't get to pan out a lot of ways, and the game failing to release on that. But there were some really cool things that I still liked about that, how you can make the comeback element, like if you didn't play well. So ways to redeem and all that stuff.
All the bounce back games. That hasn't made it into Rising Star, and I think that would be a really, really good addition.
Yeah, so there was some angles that they had in early concepts and stuff where it sounded really cool and adds a little bit more flavor and it's not an exact, it's no copy of what 2K have done in that. So yeah, things like that. More in depth, like we've said.
Would you want to see a storyline with Live, or would you like them to go in a different direction?
If they were to do a story, I like the option where it branches off, like really branches off, instead of what admittedly like what it's been with 2K, where it's been sort of that 90% story, like where everyone's gonna have the same experience. Just might be like one or two things out of order. Well,
some token choices that make it seem like it's branching, but it's really inconsequential.
Butterfly effect in terms where, the choices that you make sort of thing can alter things and all that. So, yeah, sure. Just something a little bit more standard. And again, it'll add more depth and variety into it, as opposed to, again, just feeling like you're just playing a 5-on-5 game and you're just trying to
make it through to the end of the season.
Yeah, exactly.
Sort of thing, yeah.
And
yeah.
I think, take into account, like, with some of the things that 2K have done with it, where it feels like a grind thing where, you're trying to grind to a certain amount of VC to unlock things. As long as they keep that element out of it as well, yes, you can achieve things, but, it just doesn't feel like that sort of grind. And, it's like the money-making grind that, basically what I feel my career is a bit and that. So yeah.
Absolutely. And I think Live has taken a good approach with the player development with both Pro Am and Rising Star, which of course use the same players, the same way as My Career and My Park and everything, where you earn the points, but it kind of jumps maybe two to four to five points at a time in the different categories, and you've got key skills depending on the player type. So, and those are cheaper to upgrade your key skills. So if you are a combo guard, for example, I believe I've chose the combo guard option, various assigned skills like passing and layup and finish at the rim, that kind of thing, those are cheaper to upgrade because they are key skills for that player type. Now, if I wanted to change my player type and get into a different style, like more of a defensive player or more of a passing pass first kind of player, it would actually cost more to upgrade certain ratings. Or if I wanted to really upgrade my blocking, for example, if I wanted to be a great blocker, despite most combo guards not being necessarily on par with a 7-footer.
Yeah.
Of course, Dwayne Wade is up there, and Jordan Drexler, another great shot blocking swingman and such. But anyway, so I think Live's got a good approach to that. It's less of a grind, as you said.
Yeah, and the thing that I liked with Live, with the rewards that it does with in regards to how you learn, like, a currency format, but you'll also...
So you've got the reward points will allow you to buy... Gear and such, and skill points later. You've got the two different currencies to do skills and accessories.
So that way, you don't have to go,
what do I want?
You don't have to sacrifice one thing for another kind of thing. You can go, all right, I can do both. That will help with the grind element.
And because you earn RP, you earn that in playing Ultimate Team games as well.
Yep.
So basically, because we've been playing a lot of Ultimate Team and some big moments and everything, I've ended up with way more RP than I really need to spend on accessories. I've already got the accessories I really wanted for my player, so it's really... Unfortunately, what would be really great is if you could convert some of them to skill points to upgrade as well. Or that might be a little bit cheesy, but nevertheless, that would be an idea. If VC does have one thing over that system, it's that if you do earn, you can earn VC in all the different modes as well.
Yep.
And so with that one currency, that means if you do happen to earn a lot of VC in playing any other mode, you can also then use that on your my player if you wish.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I do like having the separate currency. As you said, you don't have to choose and like, oh, well, I really want this this cool limited edition jersey that they're putting out there, you know, new content for the player. I don't think Live has put... Well, they pushed through the Stan Sucks, but I haven't really pushed through much new gear compared to 2K putting out the limited edition gear. But, you know, for example, if they did, having to choose between, oh, that'd be really great to have this ultra deluxe special team jersey that you can wear for your My Player, or your Rising Star Player, I should say, but, you know, I have to choose between the RP and the SP to upgrade. So it is really good in that respect.
Yeah. But, well. Yeah, I mean, they had like a bank element where you know you can convert.
Oh, that'd be good. Yeah. That's something for the wish list actually. So, I might have to head over to the forum after this and put that in. It is a good idea. I mean, I'd like to see Rising Star get better. I want to see improvement across the board. As I've said before, Ultimate Team, which is what I've been spending most of my time with again this year, a few little tweaks, and I'll continue to enjoy that. So I'm not too concerned about that. I think they'll be able to add a little few bells and whistles here and there to make that better and tie things up. So that's good. What I really want to see is, or I really must have, apart from the customization, of course, custom rosters, as far as the gameplay, as far as playing the game, you know, assuming that we have the gameplay and the customization, is Dynasty. You know, that's the longest running mode. It's the mode that I have the most history with, affection for. It really needs, as I've said before, needs to get some critical basic functionality back in there, like the ability to edit player jersey numbers, some injury and transaction screens, some really basic stuff needs to get in there, plus some bells and whistles. I really want to see it back. Even something like the cutscenes. Remember the Dynasty cutscenes from NBA Live 2004?
Yep.
Only game that's ever had them in the Live series, and yeah, that really enhanced the presentation of that. That was the first year of Dynasty, and Dynasty's done some nice things since, but we kind of lost that, so that was a bit of a shame that we haven't got that back. But I'd really like to see Dynasty get deeper. That's the one thing apart from gameplay. Of course, the gameplay's got to get better and the animations and controls deeper, that kind of thing. But as far as what's going to keep me hooked on the game, Ultimate Team can do a pretty good job with what it has already and with a few extra additions as well. But I really want to see Dynasty move forward. And that is one area where, you know, we talked about last week. Was it last week or is it this week? No, it was last week. We talked about Izzy's suggestion about whether Live should be trying to do its own thing or following, taking cues from 2K.
Yep.
I do think that when it comes to Dynasty, that is an area where they should be taking a fair amount of cues from my league. Maybe not so much my GM, for my preferences anyway. I think my GM's a great idea, but I like having the sandbox experience. I kind of prefer Live to ape that, especially since they don't have the VC system in place for other modes, so my GM's kind of out in that respect anyway for what they do. I'd like to see them take more inspiration from what my league has done with all the customization options, and especially with the depth and everything. I think the Dynasty experience, it's been 2-3 years now where we really need to see some major upgrades to it. Same with, well, roster editing is overdue, of course, but as the gameplay's gotten better, that's been really nice, and that's important. That is critical, don't get me wrong. But without it, without that mode, without that hook, something that you want to keep playing for the whole year, you know, until the next game comes out, you really need that, because even if you do have the great animations and everything, even if that's polished up in the gameplay, if there's no longevity in the game, no game mode to keep you hooked, and Ultimate Team can kind of do it, Pro-Am can kind of do it as well, but the problem with Pro-Am is it's not NBA, and it's NBA Live. And Pro-Am, I think, is an absolutely great idea that should be part of the game, but I think there needs to be more focus on the NBA part of NBA Live. So that's what I'm hoping to see, obviously, and that's the one improvement that would keep me playing NBA Live 17 regularly from the time it comes out to the time NBA Live 18 comes out.
Yeah, I agree. It'd be,
It has happened, and we, you know, as we said before, hopefully this is the year we start to see those big strides, not just in the gameplay, which still needs its enhancements, of course, and hopefully we'll see them as well, but in the game modes and the extras like the roster editing and everything, very critical. And you know, we said it a few episodes ago, you know, or maybe it was the first episode of this year, episode number 140 would have been, or 141, I forget now. You know, there can be no more next year on some things. You know, it's the time is now for some things to come back into the game. So
agreed. And yeah,
fingers crossed.
Just before, I was trying not to sneeze, so that's kind of why I stopped mid-sentence and it seemed like I lost track. So
that's okay. That's okay. We're battling health issues all over the place this evening. But I mean, that's live. 2K obviously is in a better spot in many respects, but still suggestions that we're throwing out there with the NBA 2K17 wish list. So get involved with that as well. And Nick, actually, long-time member Nick, actually posted a couple of really good suggestions recently that I wanted to bring up on the podcast and discuss. And the first suggestion was having additional potential ratings, like a ceiling and a floor rating, is how he put it, so that players could have, you know, a really high ceiling but not necessarily fulfill their potential, whereas other players may not have as high a potential to be a superstar, but are more likely to reach their potential. So you actually have that situation where you go for the scenario where you go for the player with great potential who could be a great star but also a huge bust, or do you go for the player who's probably not going to be a superstar or not projected to be a superstar but is at least going to be a dependable role player?
Yeah.
You know, so that's a scenario that teams face in real life, obviously. Do you go for the safe pick? Do you go for the guy who could be amazing but could also be a tremendous bust? We've seen a lot of busts happen because people went for the risky choice. So it would be great to see that represented in the game and something that would actually further determine whether a player reaches the potential or not. Not just their potential, but their potential to reach their potential, if that makes sense.
Yep.
But yeah, I thought that was a really good suggestion. And
same.
I don't know whether
it would be a good reflection to see, you know, for the teams, you know, whether the dice roll effect that it'll have on the team, and that whether the type of player that they go for.
Yeah, whether there's personalities or logic within each team, and you would have teams that could afford to take a chance and would perhaps rather take a chance. You know, you look at the Pistons in 2003 when they got that pick because they made the trade with Otis Thorpe to the Grizzlies years ago, and they ended up getting the second pick in 2003, took Darko Milicic, and I mean, it didn't pan out, but at the same time, they won the championship that year because they already had a strong team in place, and they just happened to have the second overall pick in a year when they had a good team. So, you know, you could always say, well, should they have gone for a Carmelo Anthony or a Chris Bosh or Dwayne Wade? I don't think it would have ruined their championship run if they had. Maybe it would have set them up better in the future, you could even say. But at the same time, they could afford to take a risk. Whereas if you're a team that's got a lottery pick and because you've been terrible the season before and you don't have a great team, you know, you really need to go for that, the prospect that's going to pan out.
Yeah, you know, and again, that is the whole, you know, effect of the dice roll. It's like, do we gamble on this or do we gamble on that?
Yeah, and therefore it would be great to have that in the game. And an idea of not just the potential a player could have, but how likely they are to reach that potential, whether it's splitting it into a couple of different ratings, as Nick suggested, or whether there's some other attribute or maybe a badge, because he also brought up the idea of badges. Now, badges, I think, have been one of the really good additions to 2K. It's always important to have that player differentiation and something that can add extra abilities to a player above and beyond the ratings. You know, NBA Live tried it with the Freestyle Superstars back in the day,
yep.
Which was that was pretty good for the time. I think Freestyle Superstars... there's a bit of a tongue twister, especially when your teeth are kind of sore. I mean, I think it's an underrated concept. It kind of worked out a bit too arcadey, probably. Although, at least in NBA Live 06, you could disable the movesets completely. But that was one of the first attempts to really get play differentiation and give them abilities above the ratings, give them special moves and everything. I think the badges system is a lot better. Less arcadey, more sim, and better implemented, basically. So I think that's been a really good addition in NBA 2K. But one thing that Nick brought up, which is absolutely true, is that while there's a lot of badges for attributes, or positive attributes, I should say, in NBA 2K, there's no real kind of negative badges, like if a player is inconsistent, or hot-headed, or mercurial. You know, what if there were badges in the game to represent players with negative traits and where they can be a liability to their team. You know, would you like to see that in the game?
Well, yeah, it's something that Leftos and I have talked about. You know, whether we t- it was what's his name now, the former Lakers center, not Kwame.
Oh, Andrew Bynum.
Yeah, that's the one. You know, the where you just sort of go into self-destruct mode. And I'm having some blanks today, but yeah, it's like a Bynum mode where you just sort of throw your career away kind of thing, or
you never go full Bynum.
Yeah. So you know, adds a bit of variety of spice to the game. That's for sure. Yeah, well,
risk and reward and realism, because some players are mercurial and inconsistent and unreliable. And
yeah,
you know, look at what DeMarcus Cousins, still hot-headed and clashing with, butting heads with coaches and everything. That's
Rondo and things like that. And
sure, and both of them on the same team right now. So
yeah, you know, there's that's that element, and you know, that variety in terms of the my career stuff and all that we could do. You know, any things we've also international players that, you know, whether they're expected to be the next big thing or whether they turn out to be a bust. So again, another take on that risk and reward element, you know, with the
potential, yeah,
you know, with the hype of international players, especially who either just play a little bit of college or play no college and have or just playing in Europe and stuff for a season and then get drafted. So, you know, you could have those kind of elements of the backstory. If you can set the tone, like the parameters for the story of how your player gets potentially drafted and that, you know, and with their backstory and that, that'd be an awesome element to it. So that way it does begin to feel like it's your career.
Truly is, yeah. Puts the my in my career kind of
thing. Yeah, and you know,
Nick was mostly talking about like my GM, my league, and the 5-on-5 gameplay. But you're absolutely right. I mean, that is a badge that you should be able to earn. Negative badges should be badges that you would earn in my career, obviously, because if you're mercurial yourself, if you're constantly demanding trades or complaining or being a bad teammate and being selfish, then absolutely you could earn a negative badge, and that would have an effect on your performance and negotiations and the way your teammates react to you and everything. I mean, that's
sponsorship deals and all the
you could have all these ramifications in my career as well. Absolutely, not just the 5-on-5 game, the other modes where you're not using your my player. Yeah. The thing is, now you could do that in my career because that is you, yourself, your avatar that you've created. What I brought up in the forum that could be a potential issue with a negative trait, a negative badge for players in NBA 2K, is that the league might not like it because it's kind of drawing attention to bad behavior
negative
and bad
publicity,
habits.
Yeah.
Like a player who is hot-headed and gets technicals or something. Obviously, technicals aren't in the game. Well, they are, but not in the way that a lot of people have asked for them over the years. But you know, is the NBA going to be happy with that kind of approach that you representing a not necessarily sportsmanlike behavior or good teamwork, things like that? I mean, are they going to be happy? Are the players going to be happy? I mean, I'm sure players sometimes look at their rating and think, oh, geez, a 52 in offensive awareness, I'm smarter than that. You know, I'm sure there's enough, players getting upset about some of the ratings sometimes, like some of the bench warmers, the young bench warmers, fire up the game and 52 overall, then, you know, 55 overall, wow. There goes my self-esteem. But so again, could you see that not being allowed in the game because the NBA and the players association and the players themselves don't really want that?
I can see that being in like a dynasty and all associations and my team and all that stuff. I think given some of the themes and that happened in 2K16 with the My Career and that, I think there's possibly a slightly more lenient way of doing it that way. Because again, as you said, you know, it's the actual user's experience and stuff.
It's not
a negative thing on any actual NBA player. It's someone else's experience and that. So
no one's going to get offended except the person who's been playing selfishly anyway. And it's like, well, if you're going to play the game that way, expect ramifications. So
yep.
Yeah.
I think, you know, if you know, if discussions with the league, and if they bring it up in that sort of sense, and, you know, in saying, look, this is what the interpretation, this is what we're hoping to achieve with it, this is what the user will gain, or, you know, whoever in the negotiations, the league approving things or not approving things and all that goes. So
you could try putting a more constructive spin on the names of the badges. You know, you could something like runs hot and cold, or hot and cold, something that somebody represents when a player is very streaky, for example, that it can go both ways. So there is that, again, a risk and reward. Maybe they are going to, especially with the Eco Motion system, the technology that's in place in NBA 2K, whether they're more likely to go on big hot streaks and big cold streaks, and that could kind of represent players who are all over the map. You know, if they had a politically correct way of expressing some of the negative badges, maybe that would be better. But I do think it's a really great idea, you know, because it's you've got to represent everything. If you're going to, you know, I was going to say, if it's in the game, it's in the game. That's obviously EA's slogan, but and not 2K's, but for both games. You know, we've talked about what realism means before, and realism does mean undesirable results and undesirable outcomes and everything. Yeah. So results and outcomes, a bit of a tautology there. But anyway, you know, not everything is going to go well. You're going to run plays and fail.
It's not a Disney fairy tale.
It's not. You know, it's not just push a button and win. If you're going to represent reality, there does need to be those ups and downs and the hot and the cold streaks and everything. So the negative badges would represent a part of the game that is a part of the sport and part of humanity, because these are human beings, after all, playing these sports professionally for a lot of money.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think it's a great idea if they can find a way to express or label those badges in a politically correct manner, for lack of a better word, you know, in a way that's not too offensive or detrimental to the image that the league is so conscious to protect. But we do have a couple of questions this week. Those were a couple of my suggestions that I saw in the forum, and thank you as always to everyone who submits questions to us, but also everyone who's jumping into discussion in the forum. Always want to encourage that, and if I see any interesting topics, naturally, you or I, Ben, if we see anything interesting topics in the forum or anywhere else around the internet, we will bring them onto the show. But do have a question this week. Oh, actually, no, this is not the how organized I am this week. This is actually Izzy's question, based on a video that he posted on his YouTube and also shared it in the forum, talking about a recent development with the NBA Live development team. A couple of the developers have reached out to some 2K players, some prominent 2K players on YouTube and in the gaming community, to ask their thoughts on NBA Live, and it seems that at least a couple of the more outspoken YouTubers who play NBA Live were a bit upset that they weren't asked for their opinions, or they're upset that they reached out to 2K players, some of whom are very anti-Live, as you know. Izzy's thought was basically that it's kind of comes down to jealousy, and that Live should be reaching out and talking to those 2K players as well to get their feedback as well to improve their game. What's your take on the situation?
I think it's good to get perspective on both sides of the equation, in terms of, you know, some people who would be considered loyal fans and some people who aren't. You know, that way you're going to get greater sense of feedback in terms of, okay, knowing what's good and knowing what needs to be fixed and all that stuff. So, yeah, I definitely don't see there any issue if there being an outreach to hardcore 2K YouTubers and stuff like that. I think it'll be constructive for the entire development team to know where the flaws in their game are. I mean, yes, obviously Live fans are going to be able to also give this feedback, but it'll be a way to reiterate it and, you know, and sort of find out too, like, what's keeping them so loyal, yeah, I guess, to 2K and all that stuff, and sort of, you know, just to get fresh perspective and and all that stuff. So yeah, there's no issue with it at all. I'm sure even 2K, maybe even, you know, reach out to live guys every now and then, you know, just to sort of see. I mean, they probably really haven't had to the last couple.
I mean, for other interests, especially like, well, why do you prefer live over 2K, considering how well 2K is doing?
Yeah, I mean,
it might, you know, to get those last few holdouts, perhaps. I'm sure they probably, you're right, they probably have reached out or at least looked at
it was probably,
what Live is doing. Yeah.
It was probably in the earlier day, like, let's say, like, 2K around...
Early 2000s.
Yeah, kind you of know, thing. Where they were probably doing that, sort of saying, okay, what can we do? So I expect that it's happened in both teams before.
But wait, absolutely. And, you know, Izzy had a lot of great points on this, which I'm sure I'll reiterate in my own words as I go on with a bit, because he did cover it very well. But, you know, I do think part of it is jealousy, and we do see that in gaming communities a lot. I mean, I know there have been people who haven't particularly cared for the NLSC for some reason, for whatever reason, legit or otherwise, you know, never say that we're innocent and everything, and that we've always been able to deal with every situation perfectly. But anyway, there are people who, for whatever reason, don't like us, and when we've had interviews with people, you know, they've gotten upset. Why are they getting interviews? Why are they talking to them? They should be talking to the site we like, ignoring the fact that obviously there's plenty of interviews to go around with all the different sites that really cover what we cover. So, I mean, some people kind of get a bit bitter and jealous about that, which is unfortunate. It's kind of the way it is. Certainly, if you're looking at a fan base that feels like it hasn't been listened to, just to see the developers then talking to the players who are maybe really anti-live and really going, you know, really not caring about it, it's maybe that's a bit off-putting. But at the same time, it's not like they haven't reached out to live players as well.
Yeah,
and in fact, they're doing that fairly constantly and listening to the feedback. But in talking to the 2K players, you're talking to people who are passionate about basketball games for a start, so that's in the genre. People who probably know about basketball as well, because if you're really passionate about basketball video games, chances are you're very passionate about the real sport as well. So you and probably know a few things, so and certainly know what you want to see out of a basketball game, so it's valuable feedback in that respect. What they like about 2K, because 2K is doing so well. If they do have any specific suggestions to live, then that's obviously continued valued feedback. And the other point that he made, which is very true, is that a lot of older basketball gamers who are playing 2K were probably live gamers at one point.
Exactly.
So it's important to find out, okay, what drove you away from live, apart from the obvious, oh, well, live didn't come out for a few years, you know, what else, or what is preventing you from really wanting to come back to live? You know, what did you like about live back in the day? What do we need to do to get back to that point? So you're not just talking to 2K fanboys or live haters, you are talking to former live fans and live players, and it's important to know specifics of why they jump ship, apart from the fact that, again, 2K is doing really well and live has been struggling and didn't come out for quite a few years there. So it's important to talk to them, as you said, and as Izzy said, to talk to those 2K gamers, because they do know their stuff and they do have a valuable perspective. Now, if they're going to do everything that they say, that's different, but that's not the situation. That's just extra feedback to take on board. Look, if they do everything, they can't possibly do it because everyone's kind of got different ideas, so you can't do everyone's idea in a game. But, you know, there are people within the live gaming, within the live fan base who, you know, and I don't want to throw anyone under the bus, and it's certainly nobody prominent, but I've seen people post, and well, I do encourage everyone to post their feedback. Some people do post feedback that I disagree with. You know, there's people that say that 2K, the live should basically become 2K with 2K's control schemes and everything. I don't think that's a good idea. So you do have to pick and choose who you listen to, but you have to listen to everyone, and then you can... I think Sean, in fact, said this when we had him on the podcast, that you listen to everyone, and you have to filter the feedback and see, you know, what's useful and what can be done and what lines up with what's feasible and your plans and their roadmap and who's what the consensus is. Because if, you know, if one person says, well, we should make the basketball look more like a beach ball, you know, you can maybe throw that out as feedback that's not... that you don't really need to, you know, thank you for the feedback, but no, we're not going in that direction. If it's all the same to you. I mean, you can see what's good feedback. It's, you just get it all in and it's well-organized and everything. So, but people, you know, I guess it does come down to jealousy and you know, why aren't they listening to me? But they have been listening to live fans, and they will continue to listen to live fans. I know this because I've in contact with them, been sending in the feedback, and they've been...
And they've flown you out a couple of times for community events other members. And
I'm not cheap to go, being the furthest away in Australia. Pretty much every event they've flown me in, the first event I went to, there was somebody from the UK. So apart from that, I've always been the furthest away, and I believe we're probably still further away from the UK anyway.
Yeah, yeah.
So,
well, especially on the East Coast.
Yeah. So, that was on the West Coast, but anyway, it's yeah. I do get where people are coming from, because it's frustrated when you want to see those improvements and you want your voice to be heard and you feel like it's not being heard. I totally get that, but at the same time, I do think some people have to chill out a bit and realize they are listening, but they also need to get other perspectives as well. You know, it's not just the live fan base. It's important, very important they listen to the live fan base, but within the 2K fan base, there is also important feedback to be given. And, you know, like I said, and like Izzy said too, former live players, and they need to know from their former fans what it would take to get them back and why they haven't started to come back and how they can win them back. So that's, yeah, it's I have no problem with it at all.
Yeah, no, I don't either. I think, you know, the more they listen to, and even from their biggest haters, I guess, you know, if you want to use that term, you know, the more they could potentially learn and gain feedback, and
sure,
you know, and ultimate goal is improve the game and get it to a higher standard. So, you know, I don't think anyone loses.
Wherever the good suggestion comes from, isn't it important they listen to it and yeah. make the good change? So
yeah, exactly, you know, and in the end result,
results the same. Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
if we get a better product, then how are we losing? So
no, I want it on my terms, Dan. Yeah. So, I guess like that, but no, I guess it's kind of inevitable. It's human nature. It's not even a basketball gaming thing. That is, that's kind of human nature, and that's very hard to go against, I suppose.
Yeah, I mean, I can understand a lot of the whole potential element of jealousy. I mean, you know, given the years that, you know, I'd been a moderator, and, you know, hopes of going to a community event and all that stuff, and not being able to, and that, you know, yeah, and when the, you know, so yes, I can understand that sort of element, but again, if they're going to get the result of a better game, then
that's paramount, basically.
Yeah,
at the end of the
that's
day,
that's the bigger picture in the end. So, you know, I guess the final thing to say is basically for those who are being childish about it is grow up, in a sense.
I guess so, and. The other thing is, if you want to be heard, just keep talking. They will listen. So, I mean, if they reach out to these people, doesn't mean you can't keep speaking up so that they listen to you too. Let your voice be heard.
Yeah.
Sign up for the forum today. So. Cheap plug. Before we get to talk about what we've been playing in basketball gaming this past week, just wanted to cover something that is a bit out of our scope, but it is certainly getting within the realm of what we cover. But there's a rather popular game that I'm sure everyone has heard of, or pretty much everyone who's listened to this, because we do have a thread about it in the forum, but Rocket League, the game where you're playing soccer, association football, or football, whichever term for the sport you care for. That's the thing, Ben. I grew up with soccer, and now we're calling it football. And for me, football has always been rugby league.
Yeah, so same with me.
Makes it confusing. So, anyway, you play football, association football, soccer with rocket cars, with like remote control rocket. Well, you know, you're in the car, I suppose. Anyway, it's rocket powered cars that it's really fun. I finally got into it myself. I was playing with a friend this weekend, and I'm not a big soccer football fan, but, you know, not that I hate the sport. It's never really been my sport though. But man, is it fun!
Yeah,
it is absolutely fun. It's what. It's as fun as John Jasmine, is what he said, and what everyone who's talking about it has said. It is a lot of fun. So I've gotten into that a bit. Had a lot of fun with my playing that online with my friend in the wee hours of the morning over the weekend. And the big news is that they are actually coming out, or it has been confirmed now, for most likely late spring, or that would be autumn or fall, our time. The Rocket League is getting a basketball-themed mode, most likely called Hoops. So that's pretty cool. You know, and they've put out some teasers of it where you, with the hoop, and you've got to knock the ball up and in. And I know they've done a hockey, or an ice hockey, if you're over here. Hockey is ice hockey, and field hockey is hockey. Yeah. But anyway, they've done a hockey, you know, as in an NHL version of and that was a free add-on, I believe. So I believe the hoops add-on is also going to be free.
Yeah, they do a lot of free content stuff. That, you know, that's one thing they've been paramount from memory with that game. You know, a lot of free stuff with it.
Yeah.
You know, so it's like Drive Club. You know, they've added a lot of free content to their game post-launch. So
which shows a lot of goodwill in this age of $10 for horse armor in the Elder Scrolls or whatever.
Yeah.
It was, you know,
season passes, and then add-ons and da da da. You know, anything, just and then microtransaction stuff, and then
In an age of gaming where developers are asking for a lot of faith with the season passes and everything like that. I say that having bought the Fallout 4 season pass, but I was happy with all the DLC for the last two Fallout games, so I trusted them in that one. Anyway, not the point. We're talking about Rocket League, not Fallout. Yeah. On a basketball gaming podcast, we are not talking about that game. That's not about basketball. We're talking about this game. That's not about basketball. But it will kind of be about basketball when this comes out, and it looks pretty cool, as you said. It's a lot of goodwill in an age where they're really wanting you to show a lot of goodwill. Updates like this earn goodwill.
Yeah.
And the hoops add-on looks pretty good. Throw that to the gameplay that's really enjoyable for these quick games that you can play online. It seems to be a really good online community. I mean, you know me, I'm not an online gamer for reasons I've outlined in many occasions, but having these quick games with my friend, with these total strangers on through Steam, because I was playing the PC version, you know, it was really friendly, and people saying, you know, nice shot and nice save and all that kind of stuff, and complimenting not only teammates but opponents as well. You know, it was nice. It felt friendly and fun, and I use the word fun a lot, but it generally was. It maybe because it's, you know, the first time getting into it. Perhaps if you've been playing for a while, you might be sick of it. But then again, I'm not sure how, because it is really addictive. So many games till 2 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, I know.
And you add a basketball thing to that. That's obviously appeals to me, being a much bigger fan of basketball than football.
It's like a moth to a flame.
I'm all for it. You know, I mean, usually with basketball these days, when a car is involved, it's somebody jumping over it to dunk.
Yep.
it's not usually the car itself playing basketball. But you know, that's an odd twist that you haven't thought of yet, but obviously they have.
Blake Griffin's next Kia ad is a takeoff of Rocket League hoops.
Well, that's the thing, you know, the Flight Brothers, I've never seen that. Again, people seeing them jump over the car, I've never seen anybody dunk out of the car, like go off a ramp in the car and just tearing the arm off of the socket. That could really end badly.
But yeah.
actually, you know what I'm thinking of? The Simpsons, Poochie going up on the bike off the ramp and dunking and breaking the backboard.
Oh, yeah.
Just to get the obligatory Simpsons reference in there this week. No, I'm all for that. That'll be cool. I'll definitely like to check that out when it comes out there. How about you?
Yeah, you know, I've played a little bit of Rocket League, and I mean, I've had to uninstall it recently so I can play, obviously, the Uncharted Nathan Drake Collection, as well as the multiplayer for Uncharted 4, and that just recently. So, but I can reinstall it now that I should hopefully have enough space. Although I'm gonna get. Oh, crap, I got to play The Division and some other games as well. So now
console gamers know what it's like to be a PC gamer in 1995, where you have to clear up the hard drive space to install things.
So. But, you know, I suppose I could probably... Well, it's actually one thing I was going to say is, you know, probably some of the guys that you could have been playing against are actually PS4 players as well, because of the whole cross-play.
Cross-platform. Yeah. And now they're doing that with X1 as well.
Yeah.
That's coming, so...
Well, finally.
That's also what we need. I'd love to have that with the basketball games as well. With Live and 2K.
Yeah, I reckon that'd be fun. Great.
Because especially with Live Run and things like that and Pro-Am in both games, to be able to get a pickup game if you're restricted to one console. Yeah. So I'd like to... I mean, I'm sure it's easier said than done, especially with the game as with the basketball games. But nevertheless, no, that is a really great thing about that game on top of how fun it is to play. So yeah, that would be great to see... that come to Live in 2K. But in the meantime, Yeah, I'm going to be looking out for that that Hoops update, because that looks like it's I think I'll enjoy that game even more on this, in addition to the more traditional basketball experience. Basketball with rocket cars, why not?
You know, again, there's those little sort of side games elements that, you know, we talked about earlier, you know, something that could make the game more fun. So, you know, it's a spin-off.
That's,
on
and
that.
It's, yeah,
extreme.
Why
like, extreme why spin-off.
Why like see this? See this, NBA Street, NBA Jam, get it back. Let's get some different kind of basketball experiences. Hell, if they can bring back Shaq Fu, there is no reason why we can't experiment with the basketball gaming genre. That's, you know, of all the games, you know, we couldn't even get Michael Jordan Chaos in the Windy City 2, you know.
Yeah.
So, that might be a more expensive license if the Michael Jordan are doing deals for $10 million minimum. If that rumor is true, then that might be hard to get. So that might be why we're seeing Shaq Fu, perhaps, because Kickstarter was able to fund that. Don't know if Kickstarter would fund the Michael Jordan game, so not for $10
million. No, that'd be a huge asking price. So
yeah. So before we get on to the NBA stuff this week, as always, we talk a little bit about what we've been playing the past week. For me, Ben, I've mostly been playing the usual Ultimate Team, getting a little bit more into the Pro-Am. One thing I would like to say about Pro-Am, and I need to put this on the wish list because I think I left it out with the materials I both sent through to EA and posted in the forum, which are pretty much one and the same. I just sent through some extra materials to the development team. But one of my main complaints with Pro-Am, because I've been playing by myself with the CPU players, CPU control players, rather than five human users, including myself.
Yep.
I've just been using the solo play in the Pro-Am, in the summer circuit, I should say. Live run, of course, you do have to have. It is a multiplayer mode. But with the summer circuit, because you have to complete the different objectives to unlock all the gear and all the extra gear, you can certainly win the games and just complete the summer circuit by winning every single game. But to get all the extras, to properly get 100% completion on summer circuit, you need to complete all the objectives. The problem is the objectives kind of don't match up to the kind of player you are. For example, I'm a combo guard. A lot of the teams I'm being put on as a swingman, like on the as the shooting guard or the small forward. And when I've got an objective like a box out three opponents,
yep,
you know, that's kind of hard when I'm mostly guarding people on the perimeter.
Yep.
So it's not really tailoring the objectives to make it feasible for every single player type and position. So that is something I think they need to fix up with Pro-Am next year, because to get the objectives, when you've really got to go out of your way, you know how it was like in my career when you're trying to pad your stats and you're just running from the perimeter to get a rebound?
Yep.
It's kind of like that, and I'm trying to like do that, but at the same time not cost my team the game, because it's first to 21, and of course you get down by two or three baskets and it can be disaster because it's over as soon as they hit 21. So I would like to see them fix up that with the objectives. Nothing really to say about Ultimate Team in the past week. Pretty much, I'm coming up on the next trophy I can get. I did actually get one trophy in Ultimate Team. I got the All Dressed trophy, which is reconstructing a team.
Okay.
And so I managed to reconstruct the Bulls. And the only way I did that was through the auction house, because there's no way I would have got it if I was leaving it up to the luck of the draw in the packs. I haven't spent any real money on Ultimate Team this year. I've spent up to about $20 the last couple of years,
yep,
just seeing, you know, what I could get, including the ultra mega super duper best pack ever in NBA Live 14 that had like ridiculous amount of gold players, all rated 90 overall. But I've been good this year. I've been trying not to spend any money, just see what I can build, and so far not too bad. It's mostly just been through the auction house, so all in-game currency. No real world currency spent on Ultimate Team as yet, so I'm pleased with that. Still enjoying it, but yeah, enjoying getting into some Pro-Am as well, because that was something I did want to play, because of course I played it extensively at the community event last year. But yeah, then kind of fell back into the routine of playing Ultimate Team ultimately. So that's mostly what I've been playing. Apart from that, still writing up some articles for Wayback Wednesday, and of course our 20th anniversary of live content. Getting ready to tip that off again next week, because I've got my retrospectives of NBA Live 98 and 99 to go. You might be interested to hear about my thoughts on Live 98, Ben, because that's a better game than I remembered. My 28 pieces.
I remember you mentioning that we had a discussion earlier this week from memory, or was it after last week's podcast?
Might have been, or I might have mentioned it last week,
Yeah.
but yeah, Live 98, better game than I remember, so look out for that retrospective, hopefully tipping off next week, and other Way Back Wednesday content coming, of course, so
Just trying to remember, that had Mitch Richmond on the cover, didn't it? That
that
year.
was 97, no, Tim Hardaway was
That's
98.
right. Yeah. Okay.
Tim Hardaway was 98, and Tim, 90, it was the first one with proper cyber faces as well, although the head shapes were a little blocky.
Yeah.
There is a thread in the forum if you do have 98 PC and want to get it running again on a 64-bit Windows. I have done that, as well as 99 and 2000, which is nice. Unfortunately, 2001 is not doesn't have 3DFX support with the Nglide, so I can get it to run and do the rosters and everything, but in-game just looks like complete crap because it doesn't render the players properly. They're just all, yeah, they're just like black models that disappear into the darkness of the court because it's not rendering the graphics properly. So, 2001, I do have to play that on. 2001 is a gaming odyssey. Couldn't pass up that reference. It does work under VMware and a Windows XP installation, so I can still play it that way. Anyway, so I've been playing a bit of the retro games, playing more of the Live 16 of the Ultimate Team and the Pro-Am. Still enjoying it. I'm a basketball gamer. Nothing else exciting to report. You had a pretty exciting game in my career. You showed me a video earlier that was a very dramatic end to the game.
I just had a micro game against the Spurs at home in San Antonio and that. So that's a tough ask to take on the team there. And yeah, the my team had a was coming back from at least 7 points down or something, maybe a few more points than that down in late in the fourth and that. I mean, I should have recorded a little bit more. I just got the last, what would have been in game time, would have been the last minute 40, but it was probably in the end with all the video part, it would have been about 4 minutes 20 or 4 minutes 15 or something like that I got. That yeah, the team made a comeback, and I was actually surprised that the CPU didn't choke, considering, well, allow me to choke like it did the previous game that I'd played against. Who was it again that I choked against? Like, the team just couldn't hit a shot, so it kind of got redeemed in this sense and in this game and that. I think it was Brooklyn or something like that that I choked against, and I was like, really? Of all teams, Brooklyn?
Yeah, could have been the Sixers. That's could be worse. But
Yeah. So, and yeah, it's got off to a good finish, and end up hitting the game winner with my career player and all that stuff with about 0.3 seconds left. So, and it was a tough shot from just inside the 3-point line. And yeah, I posted it on YouTube, and I'll probably post it in the forum as well. Just,
most in the forum because it's definitely fun to
yeah.
watch. I enjoyed seeing that. But I that's probably because I know you and know the person who's doing it
Yeah.
and have heard about your micro before. It was a very dramatic end. It was fun to see. I half expected the even though it was coming after the buzzer, I half expected the Spurs to make that almost full court heave
Yeah.
just to rub it in. You remember that micro video that where someone playing against LeBron
Yep.
actually did see that happen, and it was just the funny reactions to it going in. Because that's one of those classic middle fingers from the CPU in
Yeah.
basketball video games. Just, yep, and here's a full court three. Oh, you lost the game. It's I'm just picturing condescending Wonka, actually. Oh, you lost the game, did you? I even did the pose. You can't see it. It's not a video podcast. But you made the gaming shot. You scored 48 points, and you did touch on it. The choking before. And it's been brought up in the forum because people throwing out their suggestions again, reminder about the wish list for Live 17 and 2K17. But mentioned that in my career, because I did a spin-off thread with what direction you want to see my career take and whether you want to see the storyline, story-driven approach, and other enhancements that you could make to the mode. And it was brought up that a lot of the time, teammate stupidity, especially in the high difficulty levels where you can't really rely on your teammates. Now, I noticed you scored 48 points. Has that been your experience that you sort of have to do too much yourself in my career, or do you find that that's It's just the way you like to play, tearing up the league for 40 points a game.
No, I try and look for more passing and that. And actually, I do have a video, I think from memory, from that game, or maybe in the one before. No, I think it was from that game. It was just earlier in the game where I'd gotten the ball to the player, or I'd pass it to a teammate. So it was like going for like pass to assist sort of moment, or an assist moment. But the player's in the key all by themselves, and he's basically run underneath the basket, but he then kicks it out to a player out in the wing. I have to upload it. I did save it. And
it's just basically robbing you of the assist?
Yeah, but, you know...
Yeah.
You know,
God, I hate that.
And risking what would have been an easy layup or dunk, especially dunk because it was a bigger guy. And it was like those little moments that sort of really... That do bug me and yeah, there's opportunities where you try and get it to a player and then they'll do something stupid. Actually, in that video that I have uploaded, that moment that I got that assist to Cody Zeller,
mm-hmm.
I was actually concerned that he's gonna bug it up. Like,
oh yeah,
and
yeah.
So I was actually waiting for it. I was like cringing. I was like, especially when I saw him trying to go for a trick reverse layup. I'm like, he's gonna mess it up. So
there goes that assist because you almost got the triple double in that game as well.
Yeah, and it's actually funny with the post game interview that Doris Burke, when she interviewed me, she did state that I got a triple double, and I had to go. I had to sort of sit up for a second and go, what? Hang on.
Don't think so. Thanks for the compliment anyway.
Yeah, I'm wishing that. I'd kept the recording going longer because basically after the buzzer had gone and that after about 5 seconds or so, even this sort of celebrating, I stopped the recording and to copy it or to save that clip and all that. But I should have left it going longer.
Just to get that last little bit.
Yeah,
yeah.
But I obviously didn't know she was going to...
A little bit of a bug there. Yeah. Yeah, you wouldn't expect
but it. But I noticed...
You expect Doris Burke to do her research after all.
Yeah,
I mean,
exactly.
You know, come on.
Exactly. But I actually noticed that this year with a lot of things, like in terms of commentary, like there's... The commentators will say this person's got this many rebounds, but it's actually about one or two off. Mainly, usually one off. That so, you know, even assists and stuff like that. But yeah, it's just something I've noticed this year that commentary's been a little bit off on in terms of...
Yeah, it's picking out the wrong number. Yeah. That's interesting. Yeah. So obviously, I mean, you were fairly close, so it's just triggered that question to be asked. But shame you don't have a snarky response. Well, actually, Doris.
but
you know, I used to do that myself when I was really into my career in 2K13.
Yep.
Pretty good teammate AI there. Very aggressive teammate AI, actually, that could really score. So my trick would always be, because I have a couple of good three-point shooters on the wing, I'd call for the pass with the shot clock winding down and flip it over to them, you know, with a couple of seconds left on the shot clock, so they'd have to pass and get me, you know, an easy assist. That's how I had some 20 assist games with my my career, just give me the ball, okay, now you take the shot.
Yeah.
And very cheap way to pad the stats, but very effective too.
Yeah.
Sorry, you were saying?
And but in terms of the actual question and that, yeah, but there are moments where I find that, you know, and we have mentioned it, you know, the dumbed down AI and all that sense for your teammates and that, and
yep.
they'll mess up or over dribble, or they'll just try and take a, like you'll see a bigger man who's maybe not like a great jump shooter and that try and take like an 18 foot plus jump shot. And it's like, but the key's open and you just sort of, yeah. So those little frustrating moments, or the player won't cut to the basket. They'll just sort of stand just outside the key, and it's like, just continue going. I'll lob the ball into you.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you know, when those kind of moments happen in that, I don't pass as much. But, you know, and there'll be games where, you know, I might only get one or two assists just because you'll try a few times and it'll either be just turnovers or those clunky plays where just something goes wrong in that. So it's like, all right, this is one of those games where I'm just gonna have
it's on me.
Gonna have to do everything, and if I fail out, well, good chance that the team's gonna choke in the end. So it's like you try not to foul out, so that way
you do the Wilt Chamberlain well, obviously not fouling out, but also when the year he led the league in assists, all the people who were around at the time giving the account of it later, saying that basically if he'd get on teammates for wasting his passes.
Yeah.
Because he was obsessed with the assist record then. It's like he got on people for wasting his passes. Well, it's not coming to you. And yes, I absolutely hate it when you make that pass to get a really good assist and then they whip it over to somebody else and they score and they steal your assist. Because there's no hockey assist in basketball, no. Unfortunately. So there's no assist for that.
I have posted like in previous years in my career where, you know, something like that happens where the player does something stupid. Like, again, when they're clear open and they'll do like basically like a circle around and then they'll just, I don't know, yeah, do something random. You're like, really? Just really?
Yeah. Seriously?
Yeah. And then again, that those are moments where it ends up just throwing the controller on that. And so it's just because it's like frustrating because it's like, who does that? So, yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know, I did send you that video of David Wesley earlier.
Yeah, that's true. You know, I sent you that one of Ramon's sessions.
That's right. Shaq than a fool footage, you know, fodder right there. Shaq than a fool.
Yep. So,
yeah.
You know, and so, there's another, my career badge thing, you know, the Brandon Knight sort of bloody fail sort of.
Oh, well, she says Shaq's in the game. So, yeah, you can have the Shaq than a fool badge.
Yeah, yeah.
Just, your player will just randomly do the weirdest stuff.
The JaVale McGee clause.
Oh, the JaVale. Yeah. Wow. Well, I guess that's our week in basketball gaming. If you'd, you know, if you've been playing basketball games recently, and chances are you have since you're on a basketball gaming website, drop by the forum and get involved in the discussion. Always want to hear from what you're playing and share tips and other advice and other such experiences with your fellow basketball gamers. That we really like to see more of that. We used to do that a lot back in the day, and we've kind of gone down to, you know, whittled it down to modding and complaining about bugs and things that are certainly important to discuss, but, you know, hit up the forum and talk about the games you're playing, because we obviously love our basketball games here in the NLSC community, so yeah, be chatty about them, as chatty as I am, and that's very chatty, both in the forum and on the podcast. But we are running a bit long. It looked like it was going to be a short show, but we do actually have a few more things to talk about. So the NBA season, Ben, is really kind of winding down, the regular season. A lot of the things that have happened last week are pretty much not news. The Warriors are still winning. Who'd have thought? So, you know, not a lot of new stuff to talk about. But you actually alerted me to this. I didn't see it. But Joey Crawford, who was going to retire at the end of the season, is actually calling it quits early. He apparently re-injured his knee upon coming back earlier this month.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of funny. And given, I mean, we've talked about with in terms of players, you know, it's not a fun way for them to end their careers, but given,
for sure.
But given, you know, it's Joey Crawford and the controversies yeah. that he's been part of, it's kind of satisfying in that sort of rough sense. Or
there is sense, yeah. There's a Schadenfreude about it. I agree.
I wonder if Timmy Duncan's been laughing.
Oh, that grinning meme where he's. The camera pans past Dwight Howard, and it's just Tim Duncan really grinning in the background.
Yeah. Is it something like that? And there's the memes of like LeBron James crying.
Oh, it'll be the Jordan meme these days. So let's run that into the ground.
Yeah.
You know, when I saw that, I thought this would be a perfect time to repost the Friday Five I posted a couple of months ago about the five times that Joey Crawford was a terrible referee. Because, you know, that's what you have to do these days to really get the views, the hits, is to post things when something like that happens, you know, dig up an old article that's relevant,
yep.
slap a hashtag on it. And I didn't. I thought, you know what? I stand by that article. I stand by my criticism of Joey Crawford because I think he's done many things that have not helped the image of officiating in the NBA. At the same time, there's a lot of times, I mean, he refereed for 39 years. There's a lot of plays when absolutely nothing out of the ordinary happened. And we kind of don't focus on all the times you got it right, just the times you got it really, really wrong. And he did get it really, really wrong sometimes, admittedly. But it's one of those situations where I'm not sorry to see him retire, because I think it was really becoming a distraction and an embarrassment with some of the stuff he was doing and still being really hot-headed and making some really terrible calls. But I do actually feel kind of sorry for him that he didn't retire on his own terms. You know, it's... I love him, I hate him, I guess. It is kind of a shame that he, yeah, the injury was going to force him to retire anyway, but the fact that he couldn't sort of go off on his own terms is a bit unfortunate. You know, I'll he's a human being with a family and everything, you know. It's, I can't hate him too much. It's not like, not like he did anything to me personally, except, I don't know, ruin a few games of basketball, maybe. But, you know, it's, I guess, you know, whistles out to him or whatever you want to say. He certainly had a long career. It's not been without controversy, but hopefully the officiating gets better, although it's not like he's the only one who makes the weird calls. That's the unfortunate thing about the NBA.
That's true.
But that's the end of Joey Crawford, apparently. Well, the end of his officiating career. I believe he's still alive and well.
enjoying his
retirement, and until, of course, somebody, you know, the mob takes him out because of game fixing or something. You know, the Tim Donaghy scandal.
Or Tim Duncan meets him in the parking lot after the whole threat thing.
That's right, yeah. Doesn't end well for Mr. Crawford. No. So, running through a few other news and notes just from the past week before we get to our bowl predictions. Jahlil Okafor is out for the season with injury, which is bad news for a young player who's still trying to make his way in the league. And I guess that rules him out of any Rookie of the Year discussion, but I guess maybe good for the Sixers, considering the ongoing tanking efforts.
Yeah, I mean, it's a good guarantee that they'll they won't get more than 12 wins, that's for sure. So
Pick another center, yeah, in the draft.
Yep.
Embiid, Okafor, Noel, geez. A lot of bigs, but yeah, we'll see what happens with them. But yeah, again, a shame to see the season injury. Of course, last year, Jabari Parker. And this was an Achilles injury, Okafor, if I recall correctly. I don't have the article up in front of me at the moment. I should look that up. But it was an ACL for Jabari Parker last year. So it's a shame that these young players are coming to the league and getting hit with injuries. But then again, Michael Jordan broke his foot in the second season, and he turned out
okay,
pretty well. Yeah. Pretty okay.
I mean,
for the most part.
I mean, given the score, his points average the following season when he came back, it was like, yeah.
Well, the 63 points that very year in the playoffs against the Celtics, yeah.
And scored over 3,000 in that season during the regular season.
It's, I've watched a couple of videos from that season, actually. Pretty just amazing to watch him just go to work from mid-range.
Yeah.
You know, they talk about how Curry's dominated from three, and certainly not many players have dominated from there. But if you want to talk about players who just knock down shots from a certain area on the court, yeah, Jordan did quite a bit of that, actually, in his career. Just wasn't all dunks, despite what some Larry Bird fanboys might tell you. Again, I think Larry Bird is a fantastic player. Larry Bird, now there's a player who actually dunked. It was amazing whenever he did. Yeah, it's funny to think that the version of Michael Jordan we got was the one that was injured and retired for a couple of seasons. It's was this in some other parallel universe, there's an even better Jordan who had an even more amazing career and didn't come back for the Wizards. Anyway, so best of luck to Okafor and the 76ers, I suppose. Next, you know, they've been doing this stockpiling draft picks and everything. Time will tell whether they can finally make it pan out. Speaking of teams that are trying to rebuild and get back to respectability, the Knicks, that has not gone particularly well this year. They started out fairly strong with Porzingis, or Porzingod, as some he's known in some circles, playing pretty well. He's kind of hit the rookie wall. And I still think he's got a pretty bright future. But there's a crazy rumor, not much to it, and Carmelo Anthony's kind of shot it down and said, I'm not in favor of it, and hats off to him for doing that. But a crazy rumor that Phil Jackson would return to the bench, return to the sideline, coaching the Knicks next season, but only coach the home games.
Yeah, well, that was a clause that, you know, he wanted when he applied.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, I think it was with the Lakers or something that he only wanted to do the home games or something.
Oh, I thought he meant it with the Knicks.
It was either one of those two teams where he was originally going as a coach. Well, they were asking for a coach. He was basically saying, yeah, I'll do the home games. So, and yeah, I think if it was with the Lakers, I think it's why they probably went with D'Antoni in the end.
D'Antoni in the end, yeah. I mean, I guess if he did say it, I don't remember that, but if he said that, that's probably where the rumor comes from.
Yeah.
But it doesn't sound like it's going to happen. But at the same time, the Knicks have been pretty dysfunctional. They've been doing some pretty wacky things. So only in New York in an off-Broadway play.
or in Hollywood.
That just sound like a rumor, but yeah that's it's pretty funny. Miller came out and shot that down pretty quick. I got a question about Ben Simmons, and I almost said Bill Simmons this week, the sports guy, sports writer. Ben Simmons, has, and some of the mock drafts has dropped from the number one spot, mostly because people have been saying, and I've got some quotes here from, been picked by out by Real GM, talking about Brandon Ingram is now ranked the number one prospect in the over on Draft Express over Ben Simmons. So that he's younger than Simmons, longer wingspan, standing better standing reach, better shooter, showing much trajectory throughout the college season. His teammate and competitor are much stronger than Simmons. So they're criticizing Simmons for a lack, perceived lack of competitiveness and producing quote-unquote hollow box scores. And one NBA executive described him as a taller Rajon Rondo, a more athletic Evan Turner, or a skinnier Royce White. And it's been a long time since we've talked about Royce White on the show. There was a few weeks there when he was in the discussion weekly, when he was making this controversial situation with the Houston Rockets. But yeah, that's Simmons taking a bit of a beating there in the, and it's, do you think it's just the fact that that the Tigers are out of the tournament? And,
well, you know, there's been a lot of talk about his grades and his attitude at school, I guess. I think, you know, that he's just been more focused on the basketball side of things to try and get that number one pick and make sure he gets that. So, well, it doesn't look good, like, in a lot of ways. And I mean, it's kind of like election year sort of smear campaign kind of things, I guess.
Yeah.
You know, but, you know, if there's any truth to, like, if it's, like, a lot of those players like Rondo and Royce White and all that, you know, a lot of it indicates, like, attitude and behavior sort of thing. So,
yeah,
you know.
Evan Turner's kind of the odd man out there. I guess that's more skill set.
Yeah, probably so. Unless, you know, maybe just sort of ego or childishness or something like that. I mean, there's been a lot of talk about LeBron having that sort of attitude as well in terms of things like, you know, there's stories of when he was in Cleveland and, or actually particularly on his first USA team tour and that for the Olympics or FIBA.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I remember that, yeah.
Yeah, you know, he'd been throwing the towels on the court and then telling the coaching staff to pick it up and things like that sort of thing. And, you know, part of the reason why, you know, Pat Riley and that when just after he'd signed with the Heat, you know, he was talking to Mike Brown and other, you know, former coaches and all that sort of see, you know, not so much ways to handle him, but, you know, things, I guess, probably ways to handle about, you know, if those stories are obviously true and all that stuff again.
Just doing the homework as Pat Riley is one to do.
Yeah, you know. So, I mean, if it's an attitude thing with Simmons and that, I think the circle of people that would be, you know, you'd imagine he'd have a few people managing him in terms of, you know, trying to make sure he...
Some handlers.
Yeah, looking after him in that sort of sense. And, you know, especially given, you know, that he's playing overseas as opposed to, you know, playing at home nationally and all that stuff. So,
sure.
I think they need to look at, you know, attitude readjustment sort of stuff, you know, sort of, I can understand, you know, he's been determined and focused to achieve a certain goal for so long, but...
Well, you look at someone like DeMarcus Cousins, you know, that's been butting heads with so many coaches. You know, we discussed this in the forum, I've got a thread going in the forum about it. It's like the, you know, paraphrase the old saying in a more PG term, you know, you run into a jerk in the morning, you know, you run into a jerk. You run into jerks all day, you're the jerk, most likely. So it's, you know, with an attitude problem. And DeMarcus Cousins has continued to butt heads with many coaches, you know, and you don't want to be that kind of player.
Yeah.
So if there are attitude problems, hopefully, as you say, they can be sorted out by a handler or somebody to pull him aside and say, hey, look, you know, you're going to be a professional athlete. A high-paid professional athlete, you do need to conduct yourself, you know, better. And you're going to get into the NBA where there's a lot of great players. You're not going to be the standard college player. Yeah, you're going to be still a very good player, but you're going to have to getting up some higher competition. You know, LeBrons and Currys and Durants of the world.
You know, he's got to earn his way, and you know, and I guess too that, you know, this is going to come down in the long run. Could come down to how it affects endorsements, future contracts, again, stuff we alluded to even in the terms of my career aspect and, you know, the, of playing the games and that, how
the negative badges.
So yeah, it all comes back to that. You know, so the teammates and all that stuff. So yeah, it's a good way to reinforce that sort of situation and that. So yeah, I think especially given now that the LSU Tigers aren't going into March Madness and all that stuff, I think
it has affected it. I mean, perhaps it shouldn't. I'd like to think there's a bit of hyperbole here that, I don't know, he's been hyped for so long that maybe there's a bit of a backlash and like, oh, we can't be that good. Because that hype backlash happens all the time to movies, athletes, actors, anything, video games, TV shows. Always going to be a bit of hype backlash. You know, people say that Game of Thrones sucks. I don't know how they came to that conclusion, but I digress. No, I do hope that it is just a bit of an exaggeration. It is, you know, whether the tournament actually affects the ultimate the draft, whether the stock falls because of that, or people still see him as this great talent. That's like, well, you know, it's an NBA example. But early on, it took a while for Michael Jordan to find team success. But his
individual the
individual success was there. Still a great talent. Not to compare Simmons and Jordan and the NBA and the and college basketball, but I mean, just because the team wasn't good enough to make the tournament doesn't necessarily mean that he is not this great prospect. So
yeah.
I know that, I think the Royce White comparison, I find that a bit extreme.
Yeah, I think that was definitely left field, reaching for the stars, I guess, in that one.
Again, maybe if there are problems with the attitude, then that's like, maybe it is apt. But or maybe it's just wishful thinking, because again, an Aussie, you know, I just love to see him succeed and for us to have a genuine, bona fide superstar potentially.
Yeah, and again,
Aussie player.
What that could bring to us in that sort of sense, you know,
it's all about us.
Yeah,
but yeah, you know, Australian basketball, Australian basketball fans. Yeah.
Well, right now, I guess too, during the time of off with from competition and that with college and all that, he now focus on the Olympics and all that stuff. So he'll still have a way of keeping fit and you know, more certain guarantee that he's going to be healthy for that. You know, there's no worry about injuries and stuff like that. So he'll be able to be at his potential best and all that. Obviously, he'll keep up training and stuff. So
incentive to keep working on his game and fitness. Yeah. So
you know,
I don't see him slipping that much. I mean,
the Olympics will be after the draft, won't they?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes,
okay. So I was going to say that, you know, potentially, yeah, because that's right, because the season and that would need to finish first. So yeah. Okay. I was going to say maybe that could help reboost his claim to, you know, if he performs well, like what Patty Mills did, where he was like the leading scorer during the Olympics and all that stuff during that time.
We're going to have a pretty decent team this time around.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
You know, that can probably be our bold prediction, whether they'll get a medal. That'll come August. That'll be our bold prediction that week.
Yeah.
The week of the Olympics, they get a medal. Because we really need to get one. We've come so close.
I know.
The Australian basketball team, the Boomers, of course.
And then, we've hit rock bottom at times and that.
Yeah. It's it's too depressing to talk about. That's Chris Anstey missing a layup in the open court. Depressing that is.
You should have seen it when he missed the open dunk during the finals against the Bullets in 2007. That was hilarious. All the Brisbane fans were laughing.
Yeah.
And it was a wide open dunk. He had the fast break, and being as tall as he is, he bummed it.
Yep. Always embarrassing.
Yep.
But I did mention bold predictions. And it has indeed come time. It's that time of the week that we do give out our bold predictions. And the running joke continues to run. It's certainly got some legs, as I am 0-14, because the Bulls had a pretty good start against your Heat, my Bulls, against your Heat. And then they blew it and got blown out. So I did not. It seemed like the safest prediction I've made in a long time. So I'm just going to go back to the wild predictions this week. You got back to 500.
Yes.
You are 7-14, or 7-7, whichever way you want to put it. You said that the 76ers would snap their losing streak, most likely to the Brooklyn Nets. They did in their very next game. So well done on that one.
Thank you.
Certainly picked that one, as you have picked many more than I have. Seven, in fact. So my bold prediction this week is that, and I'm going back to it, even though I said I wouldn't do it, I'm going back to it. The Warriors will lose their seventh game sometime this week. I'm thinking it's probably either going to be away, it's going to be in Dallas, because Dallas did beat them earlier this year, so it's going to be another shock win, or shock loss, I should say, on the road in Dallas. Or the Clippers are going to break the home winning streak. But the prediction itself is that the Warriors will lose game number seven. So watch them go undefeated now. but what's your bold prediction for this week?
My I'm going to go Miami beats the Cavaliers.
Bit more revenge?
Yeah. I mean, Miami have done relatively well. So, and, you know, Wade had that one game off, you know, just to sort of rest up, and he played well coming back. So, Joe Johnson's fitting in nicely.
That was a good pickup. That turned out to be a really good pickup.
Yeah. Bosch has, you know, been... Well, he's back on the bench in terms of watching the game and that, so that's a positive sign for the future, you know. But, yeah, I'll go that the Heat beat it. It would be a close one, but I think the Heat will.
Heat over Cavs. So you're going for 8 of 15. I'm going for 1 of 15. My 76ers-like streak continues. You know, maybe you need to... Maybe you need to predict that I will get my bold prediction correctly, because you seem to have the touch at the moment. But so those are our bold predictions.
Actually, I do have one that I will ask you. Who do you think will lose the first home game, either Spurs or Warriors? Because both are undefeated.
Oh, yeah. I want to say Spurs just because the Warriors have just been so dominant. But then at home, so have the Spurs. So... Let me... Maybe it's going to be the Warriors beating the Spurs, or vice versa. I think they're going to do it to each other, aren't they?
Yeah, I think they probably will.
That would be pretty funny if that's the only losses to each other. That's
And will it happen during the regular season, or will it happen during the playoffs?
That'd be a hell of a streak for the Warriors to do, yeah.
Because the Cavaliers have gone undefeated at home before LeBron James left Cleveland, so you know both teams could go potentially undefeated at home, and then it'd come down to the playoffs. So
yeah, that would be some crazy numbers have been happening some crazy records this season. That could be another one. So, but of course, you know, the only streak that matters is the streak of championships, in which case the Bulls and the Celtics have that over Curry and everybody else, just to throw it out there like a bitter old fan. But those are our bold predictions this week. Let's see if I can get on the board. You know, it's only been, 15 weeks or a bit less, because we did two bold predictions. 15 weeks of predictions. So let's see if you can remain above 500 and if I can actually get on the board, which would, 1 of 15. Well, we shall see. But that has brought us to the end of episode number 150 of the NLC podcast. We hope you enjoyed it as much as we enjoy recording it. If you did... You can subscribe to us on iTunes, or also find us on Stitcher if you want to listen to us on the go. And you can keep streaming on the NLSC, of course, as long as you're tuning in every week and enjoying it. That's the main thing. We also invite you to connect with us on social media. We're on Twitter, at the NLSC, on Facebook, facebook.com/the NLSC. And just in case you're unaware, listening to this somewhere else or through one of those, through YouTube or wherever you happen to have stumbled upon this, the NLSC itself is nba-live.com. I'm struggling over the links that I know very well, because I maintain them every day, but it's late at night and then the teeth are twinging again, so that's that's my excuse and I'm sticking with it. But but yes, that has brought us to the end of the show. Thank you once again for listening. I'm Andrew.
I'm Arcane.
And remember, if you're playing My Career and you really need a basket, there is no shame in throwing Sim out the window and dunk, dunk, dunk. Because that's what I do and what I've done. So, see you next week.
See you next week.